Hey guys, Eric Lindeen here. I'm the lead pastor of Mosaic Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and transforms you, and that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Well, welcome again to our Good Friday service. It's so good to see you all. Growing up, this was one of those days that I looked forward to, but it was also like I wasn't sure how to feel because it was somber, yet I knew Sunday was coming, right? But sometimes it's good, I think, to sit in the tension of Good Friday, you know, what they call Silent Saturday, of we know how the story ends, but sometimes we rush, right, to just celebration. I think it's good just to sit in this and to remind ourselves of what those first followers of Jesus felt, the uncertainty, the wondering, was it all over? And so it's good to remind ourselves of that, that, you know, Easter weekend means that the worst thing is never the last thing. That hope comes, right? We're going to look at just a few passages tonight, and then we're going to receive communion together as just a way to reflect on the cross and what it means that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So would you join me in prayer again? God, thank you for this opportunity to gather, to sing, just for community. God, let us never grow tired of the story of the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for that symbol of your love. You conquered all the powers of hell and darkness and sin and shame and the grave. And as we sit in the tension of the already but not yet, and as we know the final victory is coming, but we wait here in a broken earth, we thank you, God, that you are with us in the stillness and in the silence. In your name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, we talked about Palm Sunday and how Jesus, who had been teaching his followers about the kingdom of God, he'd been healing, he'd been doing all these amazing things. And then on Passover week, one of these three big festivals, he comes into the city. And for the first time, he really receives worship and their acknowledgement of him as king. And he doesn't ride as a king on a horse going to war, but as a king on a donkey who comes bringing peace. And these people cried out, "Hosanna, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the king," that he was the king. And these people were shouting Hosanna and praises to Jesus on Sunday. And just a few days later, they would shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." Sometimes I think we can get so used to the story that we forget some of it. Last night, one of my daughters was just asking me some stories just about this week and didn't quite understand, you know, when was the Last Supper? When was this? I was like, man, I forget sometimes that my kids haven't heard this as many times as I have, right? So it's good just to remind ourselves that, you know, Jesus, he comes into Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple. He does these different things. And he knows where he's headed towards. And then on Thursday, right, he gathers some of his closest friends together for his Last Supper. And it's in a meal with his friends. As I think about that, if I knew that I was going to die the next day, I would not have dinner with someone who was betraying me. And yet Jesus does that with Judas. And they eat together. And then he goes into the garden. And he knows what's coming. And he prays. And he says, "Father God, if there's any other way for me to save people, please can we do it that way? But not my will, but yours be done." And Jesus, his disciples are there, but it's been a late night and they fall asleep. And he keeps coming back to them like, "Can't you stay awake just a little bit longer?" Peter pulls out his sword, chops off a guy's ear. Yeah, that's in the Bible. What does Jesus do? He picks up that ear and he puts it back on, right? And I feel bad for the disciples. We talk about this on Sunday, right? It's okay to not get it right away. Because when you read some of the things Jesus says, it's so confusing. He's at the Last Supper. Do you know what he asks his disciples? Do you guys have any swords? And they say, we got two. And he goes, that'll be enough. What? Did you guys know that's in there? It's in there. And then Peter pulls out his sword. He's like, Jesus, you asked us if we had swords, right? I don't know. He's mysterious. That's a, like, man, I've been studying Jesus like my whole life, and he's still, I don't know. I don't get it, Jesus. And that's okay, right? But he willingly goes with them, and he goes in this sham trial. And they, you know, put a crown of thorns on him, and they blindfold him, and they hit him. Hey, prophesy, who hit you? Right? But the thing about the cross, I think we need to remember so much, is that love is not just what God does, but love is who God is. That's the message of the cross. It's love. If we got the slides, you can put this up here. In 1 John 4:7, one of Jesus' closest friends, John, he writes about Jesus. He writes about God in this way. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's like the payment. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And when you think about the cross, I want you to think love. Love isn't just something that God does. That is who God is. And here's just three reflections, I think, that show us the love of God through the cross. Number one, if you're taking notes on your phone, we don't have note sheets, you can write it down, but love serves. Man, you look at the life of Jesus, and it is a life of serving, right? He's always serving other people. He was giving to them. Just what could he do? Again, the night before he goes to the cross, he's having dinner, and they've all got stinky, smelly feet, and usually the servant, right, would be the one who's the lowest. He'd come and wash everyone's feet, because as you huddle around a small, short table, they don't have tall tables like us, your feet might be in each other's faces, and it smells. So you want to get kind of clean feet. They're close to the table. And every disciple's looking around, you know, and Bartholomew's like, all right, I'm not as high as Peter or John, but I'm probably, you know, above, you know, Thaddeus down here or whatever. And they're all kind of trying to size each other up. Like, who's going to be the one, the lowest, to serve everyone else? And I think Jesus shakes his head a little bit. He's like, come on, guys, 3 years, you're still not getting it. And he puts a towel around his waist, and what does he do? He serves his friends and washes their feet. That's what love does. Love serves. I told my daughter I wouldn't cry. I know. I was like, man, but this one gets me. John 19:25-27. It says, but standing by the cross, Jesus now is on the cross. He's hanging. He's pushing himself up to get a breath as his lungs fill with fluid. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, it's John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Again, it can be a little thing that just can be so easy to miss. In the midst of this, Jesus is serving his mom. He's looking out for her. He's saying, John, out of all my disciples, you're the youngest, so you're going to live the longest. Take care of my mom. I like to think that Jesus knew John eventually was going to go be the pastor of Ephesus on the sea, and his mom liked the ocean. I don't know. But Jesus shows he serves others, even on the cross, even while he's hanging there. Because love serves. Number two, love forgives. Luke 23, 32 through 34. Jesus, he was crucified with others. I think sometimes we think like crucifixion was this like rare thing, but it's actually very, very common. The Romans basically conquered the whole world. And what they did to show that they were powerful and you don't want to mess with them is that if you broke certain laws, they would crucify you, put you by the road so everyone would walk by you. And depending on how strong you were as a person, you could be on that cross for days, if not 10 days, hanging there. And so there were others crucified along with Jesus. And on Easter, we're going to talk about why is it that this one person is crucified? Why is that good news compared to all the others, thousands of people that the Romans were killed? But he's there with two others. And it says, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus hangs on the cross and he looks out at the people who drove nails through his hands and his feet. And what does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't understand. Because what does love do? Love forgives. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. The mistakes you've made, the way you've been wronged, how dirty or shame-filled you feel, love forgives. There's nothing that you can do or have done that is too big for God to forgive you. Love forgives you of all your own religion and how you try to save yourself and be good enough. Love forgives all the wrong things you do, the lack of good things in your life, the lack of good deeds, and all the ways we fail to measure up. Love forgives. Man, that's beautiful. And number three, love welcomes. Luke 23, 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one? Save yourself and us. But the other one rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is a powerful statement. He's believing that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the anointed one, that he has a kingdom. He puts his faith in Jesus in this moment. What does Jesus say? And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Love welcomes, love forgives, love serves. This man is on his deathbed. He's literally hanging next to Jesus on the cross. And Jesus welcomes him into his family. That's the beautiful thing. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to understand it all. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, he welcomes you into his family. Regardless of all the things you've done, just your background, Jesus says, come, come, please. You are welcome. In a little bit, we're going to receive communion. And we say, hey, if you're willing to remember that this is about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, come. You are welcome to receive. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to have all the right answers. Hey, come. Everyone's invited to the table. Because love welcomes. To finish up tonight, before we go into a time of communion, I'm going to play a video clip of another preacher who's a much, much better preacher than me, mostly because he has a cool accent, and that just helps him out. You, many of you have probably seen this clip on social media, and I can't watch it without it's so good. So we're going to watch this little clip, and then my dad's going to come up, read a scripture passage, and then we're going to receive communion together and sing two more songs tonight. But go ahead and check out this clip.
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So, we just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's why Luther says most of your Christian life is outside of you in this sense. That we know that we're not saved by good works. We're not saved as a result of our professions, but we're saved as a result of what.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mosaic Maple Grove podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your soul. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Mosaic Maple Grove. Your generosity allows this message to go out into the world. You can be a part of the Mosaic Tribe by going to mymosaicchurch.com. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. Grace and peace, my friends.